Blog Talk Radio. Janine Kimmel, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Goldie.
Hello.
How
you doing? I'm a little pissed off at the world, but I'll be okay.
Okay.
I really thought it was kind of apropos that a show is going to come up about kind of dealing with some significant energies that are powerful, that are present, that are passionate, but they're not the love and light ones. They're very powerful present energies that come from anger and frustration, and kind of feeling like I'm not where I want to be. And ironically, at the same time, allowing it. You know what I mean? Because, I was speaking with Janine. I had some really interesting dreams last night. And by the way, I spoke with Janine a few days ago. I've been on a sugar diet since the candy came out for Halloween, which was about a week ago. At least that's when I saw it. And I bought like 3 bags of, chocolate candy bar stuff, and I've been living on this candy. I'll still eat other foods, but my snacks and my noshes have all been chocolate lately. And I was literally getting to the point where the sugar was, definitely, I think I had bombarded my senses. And I get it that, there's plenty of people out there with the whole, vegetarian, eat raw foods. I honor that as long as I'm craving it. I'm not one of those people that's going to eat raw foods because it gets me a clearer connection to my spirit, because I don't believe that. And I'll be honest with you. I've pretty much given up sex in my life, but it is orgasmic to eat chocolate. It is definitely a sensual and delightful experience. But I think I clearly got out of balance with it by, only eating chocolate on certain days. I'd have the occasional egg in the morning, and then I'd literally live off the chocolate. And it wasn't like I was eating, pounds and pounds of it. I still have it left. It was just that was all I was putting into my system when I was putting food into my system. So I did go today, and, I got some fruits, and I've been eating lettuce sandwiches and tomato sandwiches and strawberries, and already feeling the balance and just some life force. I also haven't been going to the woods. It's been pretty chilly around here, and that doesn't really stop me, but it's been very wet, too. So, I don't know. There's just something going on with me. And my beautiful friend Alana, who was here about 10 minutes ago, she was like, she feels like it's one big transition period, and we're all going through it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I also think that we were saying that, and I, you know, I, this is part of it, so it's not good or bad. It's just going through maybe, you know, uncomfortable times, days, where when you're, you know, it would be naive and to think that that's not part of being real and growing and transforming. And we were even talking about when you get to sort of a new membrane or you know, there's resistance. I mean, and the resistance is part of the process. And you know, I'm so fascinated with the creative process because it's beyond words in many ways, which sometimes is good. I mean, I love talking, but you know, when we're working in the creative process, it's not just the temporary moment of creating something. It's the entire process itself of how we got to that place to create, the preparation to create, even the resistance to create. Because I know sometimes there's a resistance to even, and that's an interesting place. And I've come to know that that's a place that to be able to just be okay, because it's as important, I think, as the doing or the creating. And you know, we're not aware that just, you know, it's almost like that, okay, so the momentary thing of just being happy, well, that's great, but like that's a moment, but before the happy and after the happy there's more. And you know, you can't exclude the entirety of everything. So you know, in order to break through, create, feel good one day, there's the days where you're feeling like, and you know, I'm in a place, and that place is really great and interesting, and it's going to get you to the next place. But you don't need to judge it or you know, really kind of demonize
I really think
because creative tension or resistance is so part of creating. And, you know, I always remember listening to a wonderful interview John Lennon did. And, you know, they talked about him being an artist and a musician. And he goes, oh, it's horrible. It's because it's so horrible. And he goes, I wish I had been a farmer. You know, and I always think farming's great, too. But he really was trying to say, too, that, you know, and I think everybody is in and out of creative processes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're creators, in quotes.
Creators,
that's
right.
That's what we are, exactly.
So there's these times where, you know, I laugh with other people who kind of talk to me about these things when we go, I know, isn't it horrible? And it's like, yeah. It's like, yeah. And so, you know, it's good to know that you're not alone, I'm not alone, when we're in our resistance to it, and we're just, and that's part of it. See, that's the thing. There's nothing wrong. It's just part of the process.
Exactly. It's part of the process. And it's a natural part of the process.
Yes. You know, it's not like, something's not right here. No.
Exactly.
And I love to listen to people who understand this incredible, like, resistance thing. And that's why it's good to talk about it, and that's why it's good to share and let other people hear that, you know, so I'm feeling weird, and it's okay because something's going on, and it'll surface. And when it does, I'll move. And, you know, and it's kind of what discovery is, or invention.
Yeah. Well, especially the you know, because the bottom of, the like, what's always present, I want to say the bottom because it's actually a circle. What's always present is infinite trust.
Yeah.
And when infinite trust is present, you really do recognize, you know, I mean, I'm just going to speak freely. There are times, and this is one of them, this day, yesterday, I'm enjoying being angry. I mean, in other words, I'm not trying to convince myself not to be. It feels good to be angry. I mean, it really does. It's like, and I'm not going around kicking the cat and, you know, it's not about that. It's about, I guess, from a sensational point of view, from, you know, the sensations in my body, the anger moves it. It moves my energy. And that's why, I mean, I was like, I went to the store and I bought all these art supplies, paintings. I bought Play-Doh stuff. I bought markers and paper. I mean, I'm just going to be a creating fool. And I'm going, it's going to express itself into an art piece. But today it was like, why don't you just feel angry? You know, and I've been watching like David Icke videos and, you know, I'm watching stuff that is just, you know, totally in a frequency of, you know, where the anger is honored.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime I go into these spaces, I always think to myself, like the Klingons in Star Trek.
Yeah.
The Klingons are, you know, they make love by beating the crap out of each other. You know, they have treaties through war games, so to speak. And I'm not saying that I support our war games, but there are species and there is truth that basically being angry is an acceptable way of being. You know, it's because, well, me and Janine had this amazing talk this morning where it's like, I mean, when I've been angry at times, my reptilian aspect comes out in me. And the truth be told, I'm not looking to abolish the reptilian aspect of me. The reptilian aspect of me saved my ass when I was being chased by 13 people. I believe it was the reptilian aspect that dropped into my body when my ex-boyfriend had his hands around my neck. You know, it is my protector that allows me I really feel this. When I'm angry, my energy field gets very, very big. I mean, big. And it pushes a lot of people's buttons, and I can, you know, I'm interacting with, I'm pushing, I'm getting pushed. You know, but there's also this magic that happens in those periods, you know, I mean, the magic of the presence of my being when, you know, when he had his hands around my neck, or the magic of the car, I don't know how, but going through stone walls, over tree stumps, and through garbage pails without having any damage to the car, myself, or Alana. You know, it's like, I don't know how those things happened, but I know they happened. And I know they happened when, instead of getting afraid, see, anger is very different than fear. I mean, it is, and I know we're all thriving and striving to get to this place of unconditional love, but unconditional love would be unconditionally accepting to anger. As long as, you know, I don't put my anger on anybody else. You know, it's like I'm not blaming anybody else for my anger. I'm just simply accepting my anger as mine and allowing myself to feel it.
Yeah.
And,
which is good.
Yeah, because I just want to say one thing, and I'm definitely going to let Janine do a lot of talking. She'll help you guys understand what I'm trying to say.
I think I understand very well what you're saying.
Well, you always understand very well, but you, I think the audience, you're a wonderful translator of, because I know there are things that I say that people are scratching their heads going, well, that, you know, that don't make sense. And it's like the things that I speak about, it really coming from the perception of a very subtle realm, a subtle realm where nothing's trying to, you know, and wow, is this wisdom right now? Nothing's trying to change anything. It's all about accepting. And part of the reason why I'm so pissed off tonight is because I was triggered by control. I have a friend of mine who I get very triggered into wanting him to change his ways, and I become controlling in that relationship. And when it ultimately, you know, it's like we'll stretch the rubber band, and then, you know, the next day the rubber band is basically bounced back to right where he began, and I take it personally and just get like super pissed off about it. And it's like, you know, these are my issues. They're not him. He's triggering me, but these are all my issues of control. Because another thing I recognize is control to me is another thing that feels good. But the ramifications don't feel good. But
yeah.
But the, controlling somebody in and of itself, I can feel myself go, I've seen myself like that. But, you know, I'm always thinking in my head I'm controlling for the better. You know, oh, I'm helping him awaken. I'm helping him face his fears. I'm helping him do all this. But the truth of the matter is that's not his journey. That's my journey, not his.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have a right to say this stuff. And, you know, that's when that truth comes in. So now, instead of controlling him, I'm now focusing the discipline of control on me. It's like, you know, okay, now control yourself, Goldie. Allow him to be where he is.
Yeah, there's definitely a letting go there, which is, you know, good in that you're aware of being angry and you're being activated. And, you know, the opposite of trust is control. So it's all good to know. It's all good awareness. And I think it's really great when we can become aware of any collateral damage, like, you know, you sort of, that's why I think creative process is so great, because you're working with the energy of the anger. Once you're aware of it, or even if you're not, like, even if there's just something sort of, quote, underground, and, you know, you're not sure what it is, but it's something. That's why, you know, if you want to take responsibility, which I hear you doing, that you, the least collateral damage, the best, which means that you're, you know, you're taking responsibility for not damaging the outside world.
That
when you go into sort of creative process or attempt to, or you can take that energy and work with it and transform it and actually, you know, like we talked about it earlier, that it's actually like fertilizer. You know, it's really energy that's very powerful. It can create amazing things. It can turn on a dime, and you're like in a moment of like, oh, whoa, there it is, and it surfaces, and it's so amazing to feel that. And but before it feels, you feel that, it feels awful. You know, it just does. You're uncomfortable, But I just think that the more aware we become of this, the better. Like the movie Pollock with, I forget his name, he's a great actor. It's about the artist Pollock. But
oh, okay, I saw that
Ed,
movie.
Oh, Ed
so he's
Harris.
The one who dripped the paint, right?
Ed Harris, yeah.
Ed
but,
Harris,
you know, and,
good.
And he was definitely, you know, deep and had a lot of troubles, internal troubles. But his process of how he sat and looked at this giant blank canvas that he had been hired to paint, which was, you know, he was excited about because it was a big job for him, and it was a breakthrough job, and it was for someone famous, and I can't remember her name, but it was a big mural, and he sat for I don't know how long, days, just tortured, looking at this blank canvas, had no clue what he was going to do. And it was a cool part of the movie because, you know, he truly was going through all this uncomfortable motion. And then for some reason, and it was almost as if the movie coordinates it with almost like a harmony and music, but he just, after, I'm thinking maybe it was like, you know, 6 days of staring at the canvas, and his friend, the woman who's in there, who becomes romantically involved with him, you know, she's like, anything, and he just closed the door on her with like disgust, going, leave me alone, you know, and then all of a sudden he bursts through with some kind of, he just starts painting, but it's like he becomes possessed with it, and all that energy just kind of came rushing through, and he creates this incredible mural of energy, and because it is, you know, his paintings just are like that, and yeah, and it's just a really, I always look for examples of everything, you know, or I notice examples of everything. It's not like I'm looking,
do.
But I'm like, there it is, you know.
No,
and,
well, it's perfect. See, I couldn't explain it that well with words, because what you're even helping me to understand with the example is, you know, it's almost like we can take our anger and use it to create what we desire in our world. It's like harnessing fusion.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's truly energy that, you know, the more it's almost like the more scholarly, you don't even have to become scholarly, but like you become like a better navigator of like this, you know, this energy that sometimes feels really not great, you know. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe,
yeah,
you know, maybe it's how a volcano feels right before they erupt. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who knows? But it is really, you know, it's good to know that it's not always wonderful, and it's not always like, I mean, that's what gets us up to other places, you know. This is part of the process, and it's important. It's an important process.
It is important.
And I always feel good for people when they can access this feeling, because when it's denied or repressed, I'm like kind of sad. I'm like, oh no, get mad, you know?
Get mad and own it. The key is to know how to get mad, you know, without, you know, kicking the cat or, you
yeah,
know,
no, that's
or
what I would
the
call
computer.
I would call collateral damage or doing, you know, spewing. You don't want to spew.
Right, well, no. Because one of the things that I've done in my own clearing, when I'm feeling this anger, I don't need someone else to feel angry to feel better. And I think that's part of why people kick the cat or hit another person or yell at it. In other words, I feel like crap. I'm not going to feel better until you feel like crap. Mm-hmm. That's not the... the energetic dynamic that I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I'm really understanding the dynamic of tapping into my own anger as a fuel for my own creations.
It's like, yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
It moves me. I'm telling you, since I have kind of, you know, just kind of by nature letting go of this whole sexual experience, which is another passionate movement of energy, anger has kind of, you know, for lack of, I can see it replacing that as still a creative, you know, it's what motivates me.
Yeah. I mean, okay. You know what's interesting? Now,
okay.
You say anger and, you know, I'm thinking about
and you say tomato. No,
no. And I remember saying to someone, oh, I felt really anxious. And they said, no, anticipatory. And I went,
oh, I see. Okay.
One very knowledgeable person said that to me, and then you said that to me once. And sometimes we feel these incredible, intense emotions, and I'm not saying you're not angry, but I'm saying maybe, you know, like, because what struck me when you talked about people that lash out and they project their anger and they damage, you know, others or outside world, and they spew, that's kind of like a unconscious awareness of your anger. Like you're not really,
yeah.
Okay, so once you're aware like this, I'm wondering if there's and I could be way off here, but that you're moving there towards another definition of what you're feeling. I don't know.
Well, no, but that's, it is, because I think, you know, we grow up basically, you know, I guess on some level, if we get angry, you know, our parents, you know, you better stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. You know, we're all taught to stuff it, especially in my humble opinion, women on the planet. You know, we're taught to, you know, it's not very ladylike to be angry.
Yeah, oh, and boys for sure, because they're not, well, they can be angry, but they're not supposed to show emotions, but...
Right, but for some reason, anger was allowed. You know, you never heard your father say,
acceptable.
You know, they didn't call, you know, your son a sissy when he was, you know, walking around punching things and kicking the cat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, you know, I won't claim by any stretch of the means to say I know everything about anger there is to know.
Yeah.
But I know enough about myself and energy to know that it does not, nothing should be stuffed. Nothing. We shouldn't stuff our fears. We shouldn't stuff our anger. We shouldn't stuff our joy. We shouldn't stuff our greatness.
No, and that's a really good point, because I'm wondering, like I was thinking of like an internal generator, like what motivates us, like the energy that's within us, and it's,
yeah,
you know, and I'm thinking, well, okay, so, you know, it, that's big time energy. And you just said greatness, but then there's anger. And, you know, I was kind of going, well, okay, so they're all energy, so what's the difference?
Well, exactly. Other than, for one thing, one of the differences just from a quality point of view is anger really gets me moving. I mean, when I say me moving, I can feel it in my body.
Yeah.
can feel my aura just go and just expand. And, you know, and I get that, you know, like there's an understanding to be honest, Janine, you have helped me with this the most, where, like in our conversations that we've had of late, I have also felt this expansion from joy, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And not once have you ever, you know, pulled what I would call a subliminal or a subconscious comment to me that basically was telling me, reel it in, Goldie, reel it in. You're just a little too confident right now, or you're just a little too big, or things that I have definitely grown up experiencing when I go big.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think that's a really good point. Yeah.
Because it's when you let me go safe to go big in joy, I now know it's safe to go big in anger, too. And hopefully you know that it's a safe place for you to be even though I'm angry. Not that it's going to be, you know, wow, she's pissed off. I wonder if she's going to, you know, lash out at me on the show tonight.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's kind of like, it seems to be the way I'm exploring my bigness.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, there's definitely, there's parameters to this in that I'm changing the knee-jerk behavior from, you know, I don't blame anymore. And truth be told, I haven't played the blame game. I've been conscious of the blame game for easily 5 years. You know, that it just became clear to me, if it's, you know, if you want any change, be the change. You know, I can't wait for things to change outside of me and then I'm going to be happy. I'm way too impatient for that.
Well, you know what's great? First, the way I see this show, which is very organic, and why I like it so much, and the trust factor, and is that it's sort of in the moment, experimental, and that's how it should be. I mean, that's what I find interesting. And I think that this place that you're describing, and that what you just described about our relationship, and that if you were to quote, I mean, it wouldn't, if you were to quote, lash out at me or whatever.
Right.
That's like, or this, I mean, that is an art. Like, you know, it's like, so what? You know, like, I think that we learn the most valuable things in, like, when things get a little conflictual or the tension's up, it's when someone's artful at, you know, and it's not because they're tricky. It's just they're artistic in relationship. And this is like, to me, this is the richest territory someone can enter. Like, because this is where you learn the good stuff. It is.
I agree. This is where you create masterpieces. It's called life.
Right. And it's also like, come on. What are you afraid of? We talk about this laughing. Like, what are we afraid of? We have to go to the principal's office? I mean, are we in trouble? No.
Right.
This is called relating, and this is called, you know, drop into the conflict. I mean, I like that because I think there's great skill and the willingness to go into those places. That's why, you know, it's really, I don't know, I just can't, maybe I can't explain it, but it's a vulnerable place, but it's an amazing place, and it's where really I have noticed the true transformations occur, like him sitting on the stool. And he was a challenged person. I mean, he had, you know, but who isn't? He carried a lot of stuff, and he was just staring at that canvas for days. And, you know, what was going on inside him? I don't know. But he was willing to go there and just stare at a canvas for days.
You know,
it was, you know.
Yeah.
But so that's where, like, I say that when people are willing to go with each other, and you know, yeah, is mutual respect a really key point? Yes. I mean, but,
yeah.
You know, I just think it's a real, the greatest challenge is to go with someone on something and just say, you know, I can handle this. I mean,
well,
and
I'll be honest,
by the way,
I don't invite people necessarily to come with me when I'm angry, meaning
well,
I do tend to do this alone. You know, like when he slammed the door to his girl, you know, I you don't necessarily have to go, because I call these kind of times, you know, I am processing dark
yep.
stuff. Now, on some level, I'm conscious enough to put myself in an isolated space, you know,
yeah, but,
because
but,
I am trigger happy now. You know, it's like something could come into my field, and if you, you know, you could just drop the dime the wrong way, and I am going to explode. Now, again, on some level, it's I shouldn't say it like that, because I'm not suppressing it when I'm alone. I'm
yeah.
genuinely feeling it. It's just easier for me not to really do the interaction with people right
well,
now.
Well, maybe, I mean, I understand that, and maybe, you know, in there are certain relationships that can hold space in this area, and, you know, I mean, these are high learning crucibles. They are.
Right.
And so, you know, you have a great respect for me, as I do for you, so... You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, so...
Well, and I wanted to come on the show tonight to talk about it. I didn't know I was going to be, you know, I really did go out and buy all these art supplies. Because, you know, when Janine and me first talked about it, it was like, it did feel right this morning. I was like, you know, definitely, she was like, create a piece. And I'm like, yeah. And then when I got home, that the energy just wasn't complete where it was ready to almost leave me. It's like... You know, one of the things Alana said, which was really quite interesting, two days ago, she got a new waitressing job. Basically, she went from working at a place where the entrees are $20 to $30 to a place where the entrees are $60 to $80.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she posted it on Facebook, I mean, you know, she's my sister. I was, like, super stoked. And so when she came over here tonight to grab her laptop, I was like, you know, I'm just curious – you know, is anything going on like kind of dark in your world? And I'm not trying to bring down, you know, you got the job. I'm so stoked for you. And she was like, yeah. And I mean, she told me the story about Halloween. Her and her boyfriend went to a party and, you know, shit was just hitting the fan all over the place. And she was like, you know, I was really clear in that, you know, good things are coming and that I desire and that I want, but not because, you know, it's not stopping it from coming if I get anger or if I get angry or, you know, if, you know, because her boyfriend,
oh, yeah.
you know,
yeah.
he had a, they both got kind of angry, but her boyfriend really, when he gets angry, I mean, it is to the cells, you know, he's breaking computers, things like that. You know, he's still in that space. I honor it. But it was her wisdom to know. She was like, listen, I'm not holding an enlightened space all the time, and that's why the job came through. She was like, 10 minutes before the call came in that I got the job, I was not in a good space. You know, and it's like, I think it's really important for all of us to know, you know, you know, time is definitely collapsing in and of itself, but there is stuff that is happening from our emotions, from our experiences, that is, it's not like your average day in 1937. You know, I mean, it's like whatever's going on with the planet, you know, we're not going to not get the good stuff and the miracles and the dream things. Cause, like, I thoroughly expect that, you know, something extremely good from a career point of view is going to happen to Janine and I in radio. I mean, I'm holding that vision. I'm feeling that vision. I'm supporting that vision. Even when I'm pissed off at my friend, the world, myself, all of it. You know, it's not like I don't have to be, you know, this pure being in order for that creation to not only continue to create, I just simply have to be respectful to all parties concerned, including myself. and allow myself to experience in what is today, you know, a day of anger and a day of aggravation and frustration. I just think it's important to say that, because I think too many of us are trying to, you know, the minute we get angry, if you're doing any kind of work, it's like, okay, what am I gonna, I got to breathe and stop being angry, and I got to, you know, it's like.
I think, first of all, I think truth is a lot better than, you know, than denial. And I think also not being afraid to be angry is great. And the point that you made that I think is very important is that when you are angry, when you are cranky, when you are in the, you know, you're not inviting negativity. It's just real and it's truthful.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? You know, truthful is good. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of your great examples.
And listen, I'm going to invite callers in. Me and Janine are basically, just so everybody knows, Jay, I know you were in the queue last week. We're trying to establish topics before we take callers. And, you know, the basic premise of that was basically the first hour we establish topic, the second hour we'll take calls. But we're 36 minutes into this. I think you guys pretty much get what we're doing here tonight. So if anybody would like to join this conversation, to express themselves, because, you know, I think what I'm trying to actually say, and Janine also, you have the freedom to express yourself any way you want on this show.
Huh.
You know, clearly if you start becoming irate to me or Janine, I will cut you off at the knees. So, you know, as much as you have freedom, it's still my show and I still run the switchboard. So, again, we always want to be respectful, but it really is about just an understanding that I really believe, you know, there's volcanoes going off, there are earthquakes, Jupiter and the sun are lining up with us in the middle. Now, truth be told, talk about two fields of gravity. I mean, the sun and Jupiter, these are huge bodies of gravity, and we are in the middle. And for the next 10 days, we're going to stay in the middle with the culmination of October 28th, which is the end of the Mayan calendar, being the day when it's in total alignment, Jupiter, Earth, and the sun. But it's like, I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, the volcanoes are heating up and erupting, the Earth is shaking and moving, and we as the humans, you know, as the cellular experience of this planet are shaking and heating up and moving. You know, it's like, let's not deny what we are. Let's allow ourselves to be this and see what happens when we allow it to be. Because I think if we allow it, you know, amazing things can happen to us. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be on the air, you know. I could have easily, you know, faked a happy face, you know. We've all faked it before, haven't we? And I'm not just talking orgasms here. We have all faked it, you know, to let people think everything's okay, when inside we felt like shit. Well, you know, I'm basically advocating you don't have to do that, and you don't have to talk pretty fluffy on my radio.
No,
on my show.
Yeah, and uncertainty can bring up a lot of these, you know. I mean, I mean lots of things can bring up these feelings, but you know, and maybe just, yeah, I don't know. Nothing can bring them up, but I know uncertainty can. And who else?
No, it's funny because Ilana even brought that up too. You're absolutely right.
And you know, and then of course there's the natural forces that you just spoke about that could be, you know, we're part of it. So that's definitely affecting us, you know. And you know, it would be interesting to hear from people, but I think
Right. And again, I get that people are uncomfortable with this. You know, you don't have to call in. The bottom line is, be comfortable in your own skin. I mean, it's really, be comfortable, because I really believe it's happening through us almost. Anger is a part of our experience to birthing this new human being. I mean, we're in the birthing process. If you look at all birth. What? Think about that. What's a contraction? I mean, I've never given birth to a child. What is a contraction? What's going on in when the during the birthing process, when you're in labor? What isn't the contraction the part that's kind of pushing the baby out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting because when we spoke about membrane earlier, you know, there's a membrane and it has to break and then the water comes out and then contractions start, or they can start before, but you know, and then the contraction begins the process of thinning out the bottom of the uterus and opening up the cervix. It's a whole kind of coordinating process. And for anyone who's listening, I have a background as a labor and delivery nurse, so I have years of and many deliveries.
Well, and let me ask you a question: when women are giving birth, aren't they screaming obscenities like 90% of the time during when the contractions get closer and closer?
They can. I mean, not everybody, you know, but yes, I mean, it's a heightened period of, yes, I mean, that's one way to deal with it. And that happens a lot, you know, for sure.
What is happening? So the body is going into a contracted, painful state?
Well, the contractions, it's a pushing down and it's a thinning of the cervix, and it is uncomfortable, you know, for some more than others.
Yeah.
And, you know,
okay,
body structure.
Right.
But yes, it's very intense, you know. And
that's the word. Right. It's intense.
Yeah, it's very intense, and it can bring, you know, it can bring up lots of emotion, and anger's definitely one of them, but
so
just
true.
Get this over with isn't, you know, and yeah. So,
well, I mean, because on some level, you know, it seems to be, because, like, I'm going to take a breath. It seems to me anger seems to go hand in hand with guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like whenever I get angry, I am immediately having to look at the guilt and shame. Oh, you know, and this is my experience. I mean,
right.
Oh, was I too hard on that person? Oh, did I not have the right to express my anger? You know, it's like, no, and I get that's part of the programming, because I then end up getting angry at the thought that, well, what the hell? Well, I have every right to get angry.
Right.
I do not, you know, when people say, I'll grant you freedom, hello.
Do they mean it?
Well, and you can't grant me freedom. I am free. You're not going to grant me shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, these are like part of the manipulations of who I am and what I have a right, human or otherwise, to be. I mean, I have a right to be angry because it's part of the human emotional spectrum. Therefore, I have a right to be it.
Yeah.
Without having to apologize. Now, does anger change situations? Absolutely. Can you get angry and say things and regret them later? Absolutely. You know, I'm not saying it creates a change, but the truth is, I mean, for me, I'm not going to apologize for getting angry. I'm going to learn to harness it, and I'm going to learn to make it work for me, because that's what I'm doing with everything in my life is. Just like I don't get sick anymore. I mean, I never, well, in like the last 2 to 3 years, you won't hear me say that I'm getting sick. It's always I'm processing, I'm clearing, I'm cleansing. In other words, to the average, you know, to the local Joe Smith that's walking down the street, so to speak, might hear me, you know, sniffling and sneezing, going, oh, that girl's sick. And it's like, no, I'm cleansing.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is, What's the definition you have, and you meaning anybody listening to this, about certain conditions that have been brought onto? You know, I mean, I hear people saying all the time, "I'm sick," and it's like, well, why isn't it an ascension process? Because from my perspective, there's nothing but the ascension. I mean, that is, you know, that, here we go with that one and two thing again. The number one thing in my world is that I am going through an ascension. Here, I just want to read something to you, though. It's from a newsletter from Susan Lee. It was really interesting, and it talked about the ascension. Okay, here goes. They said that one of the most important things to remember in our ascension process is to believe that we are ascending now. Since our belief sets our state of consciousness directs our expectation directs our perception, and the reality we perceive is the reality we live. It is vital that we believe we are ascending. And there's more, and I don't want to read too much because I tend to find talk much more... Oh, somebody called in. Okay, wait a minute.
What area code?
860.
Oh.
Hi, 860, you're on the air.
Hi, Goldie, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, baby.
Hey. You know, when you were talking about anger and emotions, I just kept thinking of children.
Mm.
You know, how free they are to express all their range of emotions.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're at the grocery store and you see the little kid just wailing and melting on the floor. And
yeah.
I say, you know, I want to do that. You know,
exactly.
I want the freedom to be able to do that when I feel that way. And
yeah.
And that's the only way to move on to something else.
Yeah.
And if you shut down one part of yourself, you can't shut down one part of yourself.
Exactly.
You know, because you're shutting down other parts of yourself too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Well, you know, when my son was little, this is Janine, hi. When my son was little and really through his whole childhood, he would get really angry at me and you know, say some wild stuff. And you know, really his anger was right there, right transparent on the surface. And I always felt really good about that because I felt that, God, he was so fortunate that we had the relationship that he could be angry and show me he was angry and be angry at me and say those things. And because I always felt like I didn't feel free enough or safe enough to be angry like that. And I think that it's so... I mean, it's so much more whole as a relationship with people, and you start in childhood when you can be angry and you're not, you know, made to feel shame or bad or, oh, you're turning on me or, oh, that, you know, how dare you or, you know, you can't be angry.
Yeah,
yeah, so I think that's so true.
What a crock of shit that belief is. I'm sorry.
And I also think that I was raised to be very respectful and to keep all of those emotions in check and to honor your elders and to behave, be nice.
Yes.
Be nice all the time.
Yeah.
And what that does is you don't learn how to protect yourself.
This is true.
You don't learn how to say no. You fall victim to things. You become a victim.
Wow. Hey, that deep, Susan. Right on.
You know, it can be some sexual perpetrator or whatever because you're being nice.
Oh, yeah, that being nice thing. Yeah, that's
I see what you're saying. Right.
No,
right.
I was. That's right, because I always felt so almost, like, what's the word, privileged that my son could be angry and be angry at me or for some whatever. And I think that, you know, that being nice thing is so false. You know, it's like, why? I mean, why can't we be angry? You know, actually,
well, it's like an etiquette, right?
But
so wrong with being angry?
Well,
I mean,
you know, by the way, to me, that's being truthful. Like, you know,
I agree.
And that's why I feel that when two people enter this space where they're willing to let it be that way, that
yeah.
It's actually really sacred to me. You know, like, you know, yeah. And, you know, and it's a compliment. I'm always thinking that someone who can be angry at you, it's almost a compliment because they're like, ooh, they trust you enough to, like, be, you know, be
yeah.
angry. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
So that whole nice thing, I'm like, oh,
it's
nice
so
is
old news.
Nice is overrated.
And, you know, the beautiful part about this is really understanding, you know, I read on Facebook the other day, I mean, somebody wrote a post about she was really scared. It was her, she was missing her family, but she had to leave because, you know, her, I guess her boyfriend or her husband had basically, you know, beat the crap out of her yet again. Now, you know, it's like the wisdom that we share on the show is really about an understanding of everyone who's sharing, Susan, me, Janine, we've done work on ourselves. You know, this is, we are not just waking up from, you know, our life in duality and just spewing stuff. It's like, you know, there's a context from which we're sharing this wisdom, and the wisdom comes from we know who we are within. You know, because I can see a woman like that going, you know, anger is not a very good thing. You know, like, and the only reason why I laugh is because I get nervous around, you know, like, hey, listen, I've been with a guy who put his hands around my neck, and I intentionally stayed because I wanted to learn more about that. I wanted to learn exactly what Susan just brought up. I wanted to learn about victim consciousness because there was no victim in there but me.
Yeah.
And I was willing to say, it's me who's the victim. I could see it. I could see it turn on. When he said something to me, I went into this mode, and when within 30 seconds, food was getting thrown across the wall. He was spitting at me. He was screaming obscenities at me. He was physical with me. But literally, I saw me turn that it was this, like, it's like a frequency, like a radio. It's like, oh, victim radio coming on, and I literally noticed it so much that when I left the house that night, I called him from like two blocks away, and I was like, you'll never have to, don't worry, this will never happen to us again, because I saw in me what was doing it, and then just chose to stop. He didn't have to change. Now, granted, he stopped drinking. That clearly brought clarity to the situation, but he stopped drinking when I stopped needing a victim, too. You know, it was like, it's funny how these kind of things all kind of domino effect together.
It's a dance.
It is a dance. And it's a dance between all of us. And, you know, truly, you could have a dance with somebody that, you know, I choose to look at this stuff from my own perspective because I get that I'm controlling. And this controlling aspect of me is really screwing with the infinite trust aspect of me.
Yeah.
That's why I need to go through these things, you know. But like I was talking with Janine this morning, I don't know necessarily that I want, like, because I basically ended that friendship last night. You know, I said I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. You know, and I'm like, I don't know if that's a forever or not for. You know, I just know once I get that insight, just like I got two blocks away after, you know, he had done yet another violent scene with me. I don't need to play in that anymore, and the shift is going to come. You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm looking for that shift because I know it's out there, in me out there. You know, the out there is my beingness. That's where it is, and, it's like I never quite know how many times it's going to have to shift to happen, but I'm on the lookout for it because, you know, because, you know, my goal is to clearly walk that Zen line. I mean, where, you know, it's really, you're not high, you're not low, you're just, you know, in pure experience.
Yeah,
all the time.
I think that, you know, multiple things go on, which is what Susan's talking about in terms of development and people being able to, you know, just be truthful about emotion, and that it's a safe place to be angry, because that is really an important boundary setting. No emotion, or a maturing thing. But I also think that what you said is really powerful about the push pull or what's going on between what's going on inside you between trust and control. That's really interesting to me. Like, Yeah, I you know, because...
Well, because when you're the one who brought it up that it's the polar opposite, it's like, that means this is all the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Experiencing it from one spectrum to the other.
So what's funny, too, and you know, I won't go too off on this one, but or unless we want to, but...
Yeah, yeah.
When we're in sort of that dance that Susan's talking about, or I call it sometimes the tennis match, or, you know, with someone on the outside, it probably means we're doing that to ourselves on the inside somewhere. Like we're literally
yes.
having that dance within us.
Yes.
Is it, now I'm talking about when we're in this more adult place. Like children and what they're going through might be different and what they're expressing. In fact, I trust kids' anger a lot. Like, why are you angry? Because there's really a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I really
yeah,
trust
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they don't have the history behind
no.
it yet.
Yeah. So when anger's up for kids, there's a reason. And I'm not saying there's not anger for adults, but as adults, we can be going, okay, so we're having an internal control trust process going on here. but you know, when kids are angry, there's a reason, and it's like, you know, you
yeah.
know, you hurt me, Mom, or you hurt me, Dad, or I want you to stop that, or
yeah.
don't tell me, you know, yeah, don't tell me how I feel, because that's not how I feel, or, oh, you just want, yeah, so I think that's really, like, you know, this is a big subject, in all times of our lives, you know, so, but it does start in the beginning, and But you know, you could probably, another favorite word of mine is track. And if, you know, could be, I mean, it's strange for me to say this could be fun, but it could be fun to track that.
Yeah, no, well, it's fun in the sense of, I mean, for me, just having an understanding of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are the nuggets that, I don't know. For me, I think part of the way I transform my world is first it comes through my head, mm-hmm. then it drops into my heart, and then it becomes a cellular experience. So us talking about it tonight is really helping me understand, you know, all right, first of all, that the line is that, you know, trust and control are neither one is better than the other. They're beside each other.
Right.
You know, because I'm learning so much about, this isn't about annihilating anything. I want to be, because, you know, sometimes being a skeptic is a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, clearly that's
sure.
going to, go ahead.
Well, no, because that's where new thoughts come in. That's where new beliefs, you know, old belief systems fall apart. Being a skeptic is a really good thing because, you're looking more for original thought than you are for, you know, buying into someone else's ideas. And so, natural skepticism is a really good thing. It's, you know, you're checking. How does that feel? Does that feel, you know, does that feel true for me? Or is that just like, no, you know, I don't. So, yeah, I think that's true. But, you know, I mean, this is a giant subject because, you know, you're going through process, and here's the ultimate thing, which basically goes back to the child. You're not a bad person because you're angry.
Right on. Yeah.
That's the real thing, you know. It's like, no at all, actually. It's really truthful, you know. And so I think that's the bottom line.
And it's powerful.
It's very powerful.
Yes.
People who don't want you to be angry don't want you to have that power of being angry.
Yes.
Absolutely. There's a lot of power. We were talking about that today, how anger is a very, in fact, Golden Hawk used the word, you can be very productive. You can, you know, you can really create or move or, you know, people probably have created some of the most important, pieces of art or great pieces or build a bridge or a building. I mean, whatever, because...
Look at the revolution. It's being powered and fueled by people being pissed off.
Yeah, they've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, enough
yeah.
is enough. And so, I think power... And that's another thing. Why should we judge certain energy? Like, oh, that energy's not good and that energy's
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, it's just
exactly.
It's a really good subject to uncover because I don't think it left unspoken about is a good idea. I think
agree.
It's really where the good stuff does happen.
Yeah, which is and as an explorer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that based on the way it was conditioned, you know, because it's so funny. It really does seem like everything I was told to run the other way from, fear, anger, ugly, it seems that's where all the juice of my life comes from. In other words, the opposite direction, the fear, the anger, the ugly. This is where I am getting more soul-saturating experiences. That, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Now, I do get it, though. I have to watch that I don't flip it into, you know, the addiction where you stay in the dark, ugly spaces. Because, again, it's just the other side of the pole. You know, that's why I think this middle ground is, you know, having the understanding, the honoring, and then kind of, I guess, transmuting it into something even more.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you have to worry about staying in it as an addiction because you couldn't say what you just said if you were invested in staying in it.
No, right. That's true.
You couldn't. I'm telling you.
I appreciate that. Well, and besides, I like to laugh too much, so. I really do want to be a voice. Definitely for women, and I'm not all about the segregation, rent tent stuff, but I am a voice for women to say, listen, we have every right to be angry. I mean, the divine feminine has been, you know, pillaged, raped, pounded, poisoned, you know, just its ass got kicked.
Yeah.
And we can feel anger to that and take that anger and definitely create masterpieces, absolutely, and as well as have revolutions. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's movement. It's movement, and I'm honored to say I'm angry, and I'm not hiding it. But I'll be honest with you, I'm less angry. It's almost like I have to kind of pull it up right now because I.
Wait,
it just feels incredible to be understood.
Wait, don't let go of that anger.
Yes, we still have changes to make around here.
No, you know, it's so funny. Like, I'm a big film person, and it's not because I just love them, so I watch them, and then, you know, and I like stories, and so even like in the movie Erin Brockovich, which was a true story, but
nice. Yeah.
she got angry, and what did she? You know, she went and she, you know, got herself the job, and she, you know,
yeah.
she took action, and she was real open. She was open about her anger, and I loved that about the movie, and it was true about her. And look what she did. I mean, you know, she felt, and she was. Ignored, and she took her life in her hands, and she was angry, and God, this amazing thing happened where, you know, she ended up helping, what, like 800 people or something, but I just remember the movie, I've watched it so many times, and I love her expression of anger in that movie, and that, you know, she's so upfront about it, and she,
yeah,
and so it's a great film, another great film for, like, really looking at what someone did with their anger and actually decided they weren't a victim. And
well, you know, and another thing that's actually coming into my field of awareness right now is, okay, we all know, like what George was saying, you know, we're planets, we're galaxies, we're universes, as well as being microcosms. We're people, we're cells, you know, we're individuals. If you look at outer space, the violence taking place in outer space is, pardon the pun, astronomical.
That's good.
Right? I mean, the sun. Look at the sun. It's a total Megatron bomb. You know, it's a bomb going off every day that's lighting up this beautiful planet. And
yeah,
you know, it's a very violent experience in outer space. So who the hell are we to think it's not going to get violent down here in the third and fourth dimension?
Yeah, and the forces that you're talking about are these you know, yeah, they're the forces that we're part of. But also, when I used that word generator before, that's exactly what I mean. There's this, like, all this energy, you know,
yeah.
And we're generators. There's things going on constantly, and it is just energy. It is energy. So, I mean,
it is. Exactly.
Yeah. And it is powerful, like Susan said, you know. And, I mean, once you get more comfortable with that, maybe, you know, that's the whole point, is that you get more comfortable with it, you stop pushing it away, you actually, it starts almost kind of like working with you or cooperating
exactly.
with you.
Instead
right?
of working against you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember, you know, in my teens and 20s, you know, I mean, God, I was getting involved in fights with, you know, women who weighed easily 175, 180 pounds. I weighed 95. And no lie, I would throw the first punch. I mean, like, you know, I would literally scratch my head afterwards going, you are such an idiot. They could kill you. And most of the time they came damn near close to doing so. And, you know, it's like, what the hell are you doing, Goldie, instigating fights with women who clearly want, you know, can, will, and want to kill you? You know,
yeah.
Where now I'm understanding, instead of projecting the energy out, because what it is I was angry.
Yeah.
I was angry, and I was taking it out to, you know, the people in front of me. And some people take it out on people who are weaker than them. For some silly reason, Goldie took it out on people who are stronger than her. At least physically. Maybe that's what it was. I was, I always had a sense of maybe my bigness even back then. But I just think, you know, when we understand how to harness the anger that we feel,
mm-hmm.
exactly like you said, Janine, this really does become an ally, which is exactly what you were saying, you know, the initiation art becomes an ally. The anger is my ally because it's energy that if I can harness it into getting us, you know, a sponsor for the radio show, well, you know, God bless anger. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the key to all of this is understanding the elements we're creating with because that's what we're doing. We're creating. And anger is clearly a part of it. It's such a part of the human experience. It, you know, we just have to understand it, not from running away from it and not from totally, you know, being masculine about it without, you know, the feminine, but really, really understanding its creative power.
Maybe the word has gotten a bad rap and the actual, it's kind of distorted, like, you know, I think that, you know, there's something there to really look at because it almost seems like, not that I'm comfortable with the name and word anger, but it seems to have really gotten like, oh, that's bad, you know, and really, is it? I'm not, you know, that's, I think, the whole point here.
Yeah, we've been taught it's bad, but who says?
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
like, especially when
rage.
You've been mistreated.
You know what anger is? Anger is, it rearranged the word anger, and it spells range.
Range?
Yeah, R-A-N-G-E.
Huh. Well, you know, especially when you've been treated poorly or with, you know, I was thinking of, like, as a child or with I don't even mean the more severe cases, but, like, just even, you know.
Catholic upbringing that, you know.
Well, we have a point of view, and your point of view is not respected, and so you get angry. Now, what's wrong with that? You know, nothing, actually. Nothing. You know, if you can't be heard, if someone's, you know, it's like, well, now I'm angry. And it's like, great. Well, I mean, I think it's great, but
you're just triggering me. No, go ahead. A lot of people, because this is your thought. You have every right to express this. Express.
No, it's just, it was redundant in that, you know, it's just, I have people that I talk to and friends and there's nothing wrong with being angry and you keep, you know, there's nothing, and I don't really like some people when they keep referring to nice. It's like, no, you know, nice is great, but like, I think truthful is better, you know?
Right on.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you know, respect is really good, and when you're respectful, there's this allowance to be truthful. And, you know, I think the evolvement between people really occurs when all this starts coming, you know, everything else seems so artificial to me, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, I haven't gotten even to be able to say this stuff without going through all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I'm sure, Susan, you can relate, right, to that?
Yes, I can. And one thing I keep thinking about is when people talk about balance, I think a lot of times they're talking about being in stasis or static.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily balance because you've limited your range.
Oh, there's the word. Range.
To this,
right.
To these few emotions. And I also think in illustrations, and I think of how somebody who's keeping their balance on a tightrope walker,
yeah.
you know, they go from one side to the other.
Yeah, definitely.
And so they're experiencing everything, the right and the left, and that's what helps keep them in balance.
And
yeah.
keep moving.
Yeah. And I also think, and this might not make sense, but
Janine will translate. Don't worry.
but we're in time. We're experiencing time, and the way the clock even measures time with the pendulum is a back and a forth, a back and a
right.
forth.
Right.
So we experience those things.
Right.
And we're
and
meant
real.
To. And that's
and
why
it's
we're
real.
Here.
Yeah.
We're here to experience it.
Yeah, and if you don't honor it, that will make you really angry.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to
continue
listening.
Susan, you are so fabulous. Thank you for calling in. I'm just loving your shares.
Always. Thank you,
always.
Susan.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Enjoy
outstanding.
It.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Love. All right. Ah, yes.
No, it was great. And she spent time with us, which was fun. And I love that about when people call in. But I was thinking that, so I do refer to the book I wrote, The Magic Gown, often because that was not just for children. And it is called The Magic Gown. And I will just say this because Golden Hawk pointed out that sometimes people may not know what I'm talking about. And
right. Yes.
You had interviewed me. I looked it up so that I could tell people this in case.
Great.
You had interviewed me on August 12th, 2010.
Okay.
And that's when I really spoke about the magic gown and the whole process. And, you know, so there was 2 hours of that whole thing. So people might get a cool background of that
yes,
whole story.
Yes, and I would highly recommend if you're listening to the show, you know, on a weekly basis, at least take a listen to that interview because when she references characters, you know what she's referencing. So, you know, it helps to be clued in to what the hosts are talking about.
Okay, because this is a really relevant thing because, and I didn't even think of this until just Susan was talking, and then it hit me that, okay, so one of the reasons I wrote the book was to, well, so many reasons, but it showed many examples of what it's like in childhood and the ability to express certain emotions is really important, and one of them is anger. And Lily, the character, really got in touch with being angry and showing it in sort of like a stamping her feet and saying, I can be angry too, when she went and stood at the door of the great desert of uncertainty, which is an inevitable place that we probably enter every day. So, so I was drawn to write about, and this was a natural reaction because I guess I pretty much took Lily on as myself, but, you know, she was in this great desert of uncertainty, and she was angry. She was like, I don't want to be here. You know, this was a stupid idea. I'm going back. Wait, I can't. This isn't good. And basically what ended up happening was she ends up meeting this character who also is very comfortable with being angry, Mr. H. Murr, and he's this dragon, but he's very, like, stern, and he has no problem, like, getting cranky about the fact that the Great Desert of Uncertainty sometimes can be real messy, and he's got to clean it up, and he doesn't like when people come in to steal the dragon's gold, because if they didn't ask, you know, because it can't be stolen, it has to be given, and he has no qualms about throwing people down the crack of despair and the great well, you know, the well of unfathomable suffering, and it's like, you know, so he's a powerful character, but
he is my favorite too,
and yeah. I have to say that the backstory for Mr. H. Murr, and this is the best part, I was going through a rough time, and I was, you know, really scared, I guess, and ending a marriage, and knew my old identity was pretty much leaving, and, you know, I was angry, and I was like, I didn't want anyone telling me how I was supposed to feel, what are you supposed to do, and I was having this conversation, like, with someone, and I was like, and they were kind of saying, tell them all to go to hell. And, you know, and I'm like, who are you? And so I decide to paint this who are you. And it turns out to be Mr. H. Murr. And he was sort of my, like, bodyguard. You know, he was like,
exactly.
He really was.
Realize he's reptilian, right?
No, but I just realized it now.
I just realized that as soon as you said that.
Okay.
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. Go ahead. That's hysterical.
So he was, and here's the great part about Mr. H. Murr. He's extraordinarily funny. He has an incredible sense of humor. What does that mean? I'm not exactly sure, except humor. If you listen to me and Golden Hawk just now and Susan, inevitably when you start, you know, getting into the anger and, well, you know, it's really a great place for comedy because we do start laughing, and
yeah.
I think it's part of the you know, getting in there process, and you really do turn it around, and humor is an incredible place for, I don't know, I guess I'm very adept at, like, going there, getting in the anger, and then somehow I start seeing the funny stuff. You know, I start seeing what maybe is kind of ironic or, yeah, so
right.
So Mr. H. Murr was a huge teacher for me. He was an incredible bodyguard, and obviously Mr. H. Murr is an aspect of myself, because you can't write about him, you know, without really feeling or being him. And I had no idea until you just mentioned it, because that he's reptilian, because I guess dragons are
reptilian.
So the reason
why I'm saying this is because me and Janine, when we were speaking earlier today, you know, I tapped into it a little bit. You know, we have many aspects, and it's so funny. When I was listening devoutly to the Crimson Circle, they would talk about, you know, aspects of self. And I always went into my aspects of self as human, and it's not to say that I don't have human aspects, but what is happening to me lately as I'm becoming, you know, the veil is being removed even more, is I am recognizing my aspects to be reptilian, lion, bird. And one of the things that I got was my reptilian, when I was walking into abandoned buildings looking for, you know, the guy who was going to sell me $800 worth of cocaine, and I'm a little 95-pound white girl, you know, and they're basically people in this building and it's abandoned, you know, with machine guns, and, you know, they're basically, I don't know, make crack houses and crack factories, and, you know, they're making coke and crack, and who do you think was, it wasn't my hawk that was with me, and it wasn't my cat. It was my reptilian that literally was my protector. And what I mean by that is from a, it's an energy field.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, I was a stupid little white girl screaming my head off. Because there was one time I was in somewhere in the Bronx. I had basically gotten ripped off the $800. And I was screaming, where is the guy? Show me the guy who took the money. Show me the guy. And, you know, a guy came out of an apartment building with a machine gun in his hand and went, you've got two choices. You can shut up or you can die.
Hmm.
And I went, okay, I think I'm going to shut up now. You know, but, I mean, truth be told, he could have just come out shooting, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell was supposed to stop him? Well, energies that were around me, that are around all of us. You know, it's like, I know that I see a lot of reptilians in my dream I had the other night surrounding addictions. And what's interesting is, I'm just starting to get my awareness. There are parasitical relationships that we have. We have them with each other. We have them with beings that are feeding off of us. But we're also feeding off of them. You know, it's like, it's almost like they allow us to go dark. And on some level, at least from my experience, they have protected me. I don't know if anybody watches the show Stargate One. But the people that have Gauls in the Jaffa, what they're called, they carry the Gaul, the baby worm parasites in their bodies until they mature. And one of the side effects, for lack of a better word, that they get for carrying the Gaul is perfect health and longevity. So, you know, it's almost like I'm starting to have this understanding that the parasitical relationships, this isn't just about the host being fed off of by the parasite. The host is getting something too. Because one of the things that I got clearly in the dream when I saw these reptilians around people I know with addictions, I basically went up and said, you know, there's a reptile, you know, sucking off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, I know. I'm not ready to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the addiction they were talking about. It was the reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so part of the journey of coming into, like we were saying earlier, no one grants us freedom. No one's going to grant us the strength to become sovereign. It's going to be when we choose, you know, to find our own sovereignty, we're going to choose it. And I do understand, you know, when we have these talks, that there's a divine time for everyone to do that. You know, no one can decide when another person is ready to go through these major changes, even though at this point, Mother Earth on some level is going through this change. You know, and it's, you know, on some level, if you can't keep up with her, you're not going to be on the planet. I mean, that's not me making that decision. That's Earth, mate. You know what I'm saying? The mechanics are going more than just, you know, us choosing it. It's the planet is kind of choosing it, and now it's whether we're in alignment or not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it's still a personal choice, because if you're not in alignment, then I guess there's ways to leave the planet and continue on the journey. But I am finding it very interesting, again, that, you know, we look at parasites. Me and Janine were talking about this. You know, there's an epidemic of, what's the hand soap?
Oh, Perel.
Perel. There's a Perel epidemic going on with all these germaphobes. You know, I nanny for these two little girls, and one of them is like, we go into a store, she gets excited and says, buy me Perel, buy me Perel. And I'm like, no. No, I will buy you gum, like, or candy, like any other natural, normal kid. Stop getting excited about killing 99% of your germs. That's just a ridiculous thing for you to be excited about. And like, literally, as soon as we're done in the store, I'm like, outside, put your hands in the dirt. Right now, put your hands in the dirt. And I make her share, you know, if I'm drinking a soda, I make sure, you're going to share the soda with me. And she's like, I can't. And I'm like, sweetheart, you can. I mean, this is just a belief. I mean, the belief we have around, germs and, you know, in all honesty, killing 99% of our germs is lowering our own natural ability to fight them. There are plenty of parasites that live within our being. And Janine can discuss more of this from the probiotic point of view, that completely serve the human experience. And, of course, that makes sense because it's everywhere. It's not just in the, you know, if the ETs are feeding off of our energy, it can't just be a negative. There's got to be a positive effect from it, simply because the truth is victim consciousness and victimizer, that's all just belief systems. We contracted all of this. You know, and the beauty of looking at life from a contracted point of view is that the contract is now up. So it's not like it can't linger on longer than it's going to based on your contract. For me, my contract's up, and I'm starting to understand, oh, okay, I can let go of things where I, you know, they were my strength. It was, this reptilian is clearly, has shown up as my strength, but I'm starting to pull it almost out of my own DNA instead of utilizing it. You know, I don't, like, you know that saying, when people drink, they get courage, you know, to say things they might want to say or.
Oh, yeah,
know,
yeah, there's an, like, in vino, in there's something with wine, with truth or something. I forget, it's in.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, right, you get beer balls. That's how I kind of know. Well, and so first we use the whatever the parasite is, but inevitably you start understanding that, like, you know, coming out here tonight and doing a show on anger. You know, there was a day I would have probably had to do two shots and a couple of beers before I could have talked about this, you know, to people I know as well as I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah. No, you know, I think it's so, because what I, it's so funny that, hand sanitizer and anger came up in the same show, because I'm thinking, you know, there's this whole wave around sanitizing everything. And then I'm wondering if that has the same, you know, I mean, because we're talking about it. So it just struck me. I'm like, so sanitizing, you know, sounds like it seems to be, you know, all these Perels and the wipes and stuff. And that, and then you're going, and we're talking about anger. And anger is, like, real, and it almost reminds me of, like, Mother Earth, and, you know, and it's like, well, it's almost like anti-sanitizing, you know, it's like anger is like, we talked about it today, it's almost like fertilizer, and, you know, it's like, so it somehow, to me, the sanitizing is, like, almost encouraging not being feeling and real and intense emotion and, you know, truthful and your full self and, you know, because it's just so, I don't know, it's so, first of all, shallow to me, like that whole sanitizing thing. And so it's like, to me, like a discomfort with the naturalness of your body, the naturalness of the earth, like, you know, I guess as a nurse, I always was like, the people and their bodies never, there was never a problem there. But, like, yeah, I don't get that, you know, and I think that's that whole sanitizing thing, you know. And,
well, and I think, right, I think you have nailed it, you know, once again, beautifully. The whole, you're absolutely, the metaphor of, you know, we're trying to live, you can't live in a bubble. I mean, that, and to be honest, do you want to?
Yeah.
Do you want to live in a totally, you know, parasitical free life? Because truth be told, why'd you come to this dimension? This dimension is riddled with the opposite.
With dirt.
Of everything.
With
what?
With dirt.
With dirt.
But, right. But see, I think once again, what I love about this is, where it brings me back, which is really cool, it brings me back to the organic again, like the naturalness of the body, the naturalness of the earth, the naturalness of being a whole person, which includes angry and all those great qualities that, you know, I said to someone the other day, I think I scared her. I said, yeah, I should have ran today because I feel really crazy. she looked at me like, uh-oh. And I actually, you know, it was funny because it's like, well, what are you afraid of, you know? It's like, you know, feel crazy. Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or go run around in the park on the grass and, you know, I don't know. It just seems so real to me, but it also, and by the way, what's the irony of it all? When you over-sanitize, you create these bizarre new, like, bacterias and germs that you know, are incredibly defiant.
That are kicking your ass.
That are incredibly defiant to the fact that, like, you know, wait a minute, the natural bacteria were so much friendlier.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I think it's really funny because this is why I love the show. I think the show is very experimental because we're willing to sort of go with a subject and see where it takes us. And I wouldn't, you know, have predicted that anger and Perel would have come up in the same, you know, radio show. But there's something about that whole, like, let's sanitize ourselves. And it's like, no.
Yeah, the whole distortion.
I don't want
it's
to.
Distorted.
I like the natural, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And
In fact, it's quite healthy. Dirt is, I mean, it makes me laugh. We tell our kids, clean your hands, clean the dirt, clean
yeah.
the dirt. And then we go to spas and we pay $300 to sit in the mud.
Covered in mud.
I mean, like, are you kidding me? This is because we so got it as children. We didn't have to go to a spa.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember it raining in my backyard, me and my brother playing this game we call Pickle.
Yeah.
Which was, I think Legend was there too, another good friend of ours. And it's basically where you put yourself in a pickle and you have to get to the base without getting tagged with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to love playing that. And my father came home one day and, I mean, we were literally covered in mud from head to toe. And he freaked out. It was like my mom was nowhere to be found. He beat the crap out of us. He threw us in the tub. I mean, and we were munchkins because, I mean, first of all, we were at the age we were still taking a bath together, and it didn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
So we must have been something like, I don't know, 3 and 6. But, I mean, like, I am really clear that I remember that day really well. And I also remember the day that I had Sahana and Anya, you know, in the park. It had rained. And
yeah.
we met one of her little friends. You know, there was another little girl that we, you know, we used to playing with. And when it came up to the puddle that was near the water fountain, the little girl jumped right into the puddle, splashed it everywhere, and I smiled, and Anya would not jump in. I mean, I almost wanted to throw her in, but I realized that's just as traumatizing. I was like, Anya, I'm not going to be mad. And she was like, no, I can't get dirty. I went, yes, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mud. It will clean up. And it wasn't about her mother, even though I think it, you know, on a subliminal, you know, I've heard her mother say to her, you know, you need to take a shower. You smell disgusting.
Oh, that's rough.
Well, and I'm like going, she's sick. She doesn't even have sweat glands. You know, it's like she doesn't smell. I mean,
yeah.
she doesn't smell. This is just her mother's programming. And she's a lovely lady. She's, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Passing down, you know, information that she was raised on, and in my humble opinion, you know, producing a germaphobe. I mean, because believe me, it ain't me producing the germaphobe.
No, it's a really good point. You know, it's a good point, and it's so funny that, who could predict that it would really come back to, I don't know, that you start out with anger, but, you know, and this is the Mystical Mother Earth show, but, like,
yeah.
you come, we end up in, like, the dirt.
Because well, and guess what? And that's where it's healthy.
And I think that's where it's healthy. No,
yeah.
This is perfect because this is where we're supposed to end up because playing outside and getting dirty with Earth and with nature and is the most incredible transformative, you know,
healing,
everything,
yeah.
you know, and maybe that's a lot of it too, is like, not just, no, I mean, I'm not saying that's for you right now, but it just
no,
reminds
me. No, but, well, I, you know, it was interesting because I could have gone to Earth today. I mean, I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, I could have gone to the fourth, but there was something about just sitting with the anger and, you know,
well, maybe
watching.
You were supposed to talk about it tonight, you know.
Well, and I definitely feel that. I mean, the fact that it's Monday, yeah, yeah. And you know, I hope the discussion, you know, has given everybody at least a sense that it's okay to be angry, that you're not a bad person because you're angry. You know, and there's clearly, you know, like I was saying earlier, getting angry and you know, and spewing it on other beings, you know, four-leggeds or two-leggeds, we're not that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just owning it. And,
well,
and
yeah, I think it's important to know it's natural to get angry. It is
that's
not
an excellent point.
It
yeah.
is not unnatural. I mean, it is really not. I mean, oh, what was I listening to? It was so funny. Some comic that was being interviewed about Occupy Wall Street. This I don't know this guy, but he immediately knew he was funny and smart. And he was talking about anger with Occupying Wall Street, and he goes, "Hey, look at when Jesus threw that tantrum at the temple and overturned all the tables because they were disrespect." You know, this was the story, but he said it in a way that was so funny about like a temper tantrum, or you know, but it was true that the anger, even you know, in it was actually a really good thing. I mean, it's like turning over tables and kicking people out because, you know, they were...
Wait a minute. They're saying they can't hear us right now, Janine, in the chat.
Oh. Are they clear?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
That's unfortunate. I mean...
exactly. We were really doing good. I'm not quite sure what to do. I mean, we might just have to end the show. I don't know.
Well,
you can hear us. Oh, no, Polar Bear says he can hear us.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. So, wait, Polar Bear, did you ever lose us? Or did we got lost and then came back, or you could hear us the whole time? I didn't mean to interrupt, babe. I just
thought.
No,
that's
all
right. That's all right.
Reboot. Oh, he rebooted. You rebooted, and now you can hear us. Okay, so they did lose us. So if anybody's lost sound, okay. Oh,
okay.
and Susan has sound. Okay, we're good. All right.
And Michelle was going to listen tonight from Spokane, Washington. So I don't know if she's on, but I hope she's enjoying the show. But no, the whole Occupy Wall Street, which, you know, it's funny because you brought up internal revolution and external revolution, but that's exactly, he was incredibly funny, this comic, and you know, super bright, and He spoke about the spiritual tantrum of, you know, flipping over the tables because of corporate greed in the temple. And, you know, pretty much it's the same story, you know, about, you know, inequality, you know, corporate greed. And, you know, just going back to a better place of fairness, if there ever was one, I don't know. But, you know, I just think it's funny that the anger thing, I think
2,000 years later, we're still talking.
It was perfect. And you know, maybe you are so generous that you held on to your anger so you could share it with everybody.
Well, first of all, you know, one thing I'm starting to notice is the taboos. I definitely like tackling.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. Well, and God bless it. I can't do it without you, Janine. I mean, I can, but it never came off as really as beautiful. Because first of all, most of the times I was going to do taboos, on my other show, another reality show, the guest doesn't want to do taboo unless their topic is taboo. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
So it's very difficult to do taboo alone on
no,
a radio
true.
Show and
that's
get
true.
The message across. Where with you here, it's like, you know. Not because, see, it's not just about, you know, you saying, okay, I'll do taboos with you. You understand them. You know, you're living them.
Yeah.
You know.
Breaking belief systems.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing because what people really forget clearly is that exactly like you were saying, Jesus was taboo for his day.
Oh, yeah,
he
revolutionary.
Was blasphemous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. They crucified him, not because they loved him.
Yeah.
You know, they crucified him because he was saying all the things that, you know, the David Icke's are saying now. And, you know, and David Icke's been doing this for a while. So, meaning, you know, I know that I'm, you know, I'm Heyoki, which is I teach backwards, which is basically, you know, talking about taboos and letting it be okay. And I'm also a catalyst,
yeah,
where I don't care if I piss anybody off because I understand the nature of being angry, as we talked about tonight, as being, it can be productive. You know,
yeah,
certainly more productive than being in total fear.
Or artificial.
Being angry.
Or artificial. Pardon? Or artificial.
Or artificial, yeah.
Yeah, no, no. You know, or, you know, Perelling everything.
Yes, exactly. If you're looking for the Perel radio show, go look for the Galactic Federation of Light.
They're definitely
That's
not
where
our
everything
sponsor.
Is.
They won't
yes.
be sponsoring us.
Well, you know, God, wouldn't that be, that would be just as funny as it gets, because, right, I, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, I don't think Perel will be sponsoring. That was a great line, babe. You are comedically quite suave. Suave, girl. Suave. Yes. No, I have a feeling, you know, if we're going to get sponsored, we want to be sponsored by some dirty corporation.
I think Miracle Grow.
Miracle Grow!
It's dirt and miracles in one.
We must contact Miracle Grow. I think you have something there, my friend. Yes. That is fantastic. Oh, that was very good.
If the CEO of Miracle Grow is listening, could you please contact us?
Yes. No, well, listen, I'll drop him an email. Find out his email.
Oh, that's good. That was very good.
That was very good. Yes, I enjoyed that. Ah. Yes. So what do you guys think? So let me know in the chat room what you guys think.
It's funny. I can't see the chat room, but that's all right. I don't know how to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sometimes I do, and sometimes it doesn't come up, and I don't know why, but that's okay.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, we were laughing. I kind of lost our crowd.
That was fun. Wait, we lost our crowd?
No, meaning when I was laughing with you, it was strictly I was just with you just now.
Oh.
So
well, they
might have been left out. Yeah.
Hopefully they enjoyed the Miracle Grow.
Yeah, well, it was a great line. I mean, you know, and I think what you were saying is true, because, you know, even Alana said it. In our darkest hours,
mm-hmm.
we really can find, that's where the breakthroughs seem to happen.
Oh,
and I'm not saying that it'll be that way in every dimension for every lifetime, but in a polarized space, it really does seem that the greatest breakthroughs come in the darkest hours. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if that's the case...
Well, no, I mean, obviously, if you venture down into the dark night of the soul, or you venture down into the dark basement, or, you know, these are the places where all the hidden moments of, like, your hidden self and all that, you know, lots of energy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the place you want to explore, because that's probably... I'm completely fascinated with the idea of dark matter, because they feel like that's really what, you know, what's happening.
Propelling,
you know,
everything in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all that, you know, all those places, and once again, I always come up with courage, because courage, you know, to go into those places, it does take courage, because, you know, we're just expressing a little bit of, you know, you're talking about your anger and feeling, you know, uncomfortable, but you're talking about it. There's so many people
that you
can't even reach that place, you know.
Yeah.
But that is where all the good stuff's hiding. It is. you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, anything that you're hiding from, I promise you, and here, this is ironic, but I promise you, anything that you're afraid to face has the juice of all good things you want, from the passionate to the extraordinary to the exotic. I mean, there are unbelievable, amazing things in that which we are most afraid to go. That has been my own life experiences. And I've only scratched the surface of these things. I mean, I can't wait till I'm actually capable from a conscious level to explore the entire galaxy and universe and omniverse. You know, I'm such an adventurist and you know, I mean, shucks, exploring just my subconscious has kept me pretty busy here in the third and fourth dimension.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but I do believe it's symbolic of the rest of the, you know, because I watched the show, you know, Stargate One. They literally are going to planets with, you know, they don't know anything about this planet except that it can hold, you know, oxygen, it can sustain human life. But besides that, they don't know what they're getting into, and it's like, wow, what a fantastic journey to live, you know,
yeah.
Just exploring new worlds and new cultures and new beings. And, of course, you know, there's pretty much as big as the risk is as big as the payoff. I mean, they're, you know, on several of the shows, they're in potentially, you know, near-death disastrous experiences. But, what you know, when you're not afraid to die, so to speak, you know, it's amazing how you don't, first of all.
That's it.
And
yeah.
and what you receive in the experience is just so deep. It's like, I'm good. I'm good in the sense of I've been exploring my subconscious, you know, and that seems to be the thing everybody told me to stay away from. I mean,
that's great. No, that's
yeah.
great. You know, there's a story that I don't know. I have to freshen up on it, but it's a great opposite of Perel story, because this is really where all the good stuff is. There's this, and it's like an old.
Now wait a minute. Do you hear crackling?
No.
Okay. Does anybody else hear crackling? I'm hearing crackling. Keep telling the story, because if you're not hearing it, then it's probably just my phone. So,
okay.
But keep going. Sorry, I'm hearing it.
No, that's all right. So it's about those places that you need to go, and I won't get the whole story right, and I'm going to find the story and tell it better another time. But it's
okay.
About there's a river. Yeah, I think it's African, but I'm pretty sure it's African. And there's a river, and the women go down to the river every day to wash their clothes and, you know, do what they do. And there's, on the bottom of the river lives this woman. I don't know if she's old, but they hear her talking, and she says something like this, "Lick my wounds, lick my wounds." And they all run away in disgust. It's like, no way, that's disgusting, you know? And, I'm definitely not going to get the whole story, so I'm going to tell parts of it. But the point is, there is one woman who has the courage, the compassion, and this is all like relative to yourself. This is about what we need to do for ourselves. And
Okay. This
one woman has the courage. She literally hears the woman calling, "Lick my wounds, lick my wounds," and she goes down into the river, and she does. And in that moment, she is completely transformed into, you know, a much more, you know, elevated being, or she's
right.
No longer afraid of her ugly parts or her wounded parts or her parts that nobody else, you know, would tear, you know, like how that's disgusting, you know, and it's not.
Right.
It's what I'm saying about natural, or you know, going down into the dark basement, or going into the darkness, or, you know, experiencing your anger and seeing where you end up, you know, when you...
Yeah!
You know, it's so true, because...
Yeah.
And it's a great story, and I know lots more stories like that, because, you know, I learned a lot about storytelling, but these are the stories, you know, these are the stories that encourage people to be real, to be angry, to be, you know, to go into that dark place and retrieve all that.
Well, did you see the movie V for Vendetta?
No, I never did. A friend of mine really speaks highly of that movie, but I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
It's a great movie, and I don't want to blow it for you, but and I'm not going to. There's just one particular point where the guy V shows Evie. I mean, this is all, you know, it's a very, it's made by Marvel Comics, so there's a lot of, you know, V, and the girl who he falls in love with is Evie.
Yeah.
she says at one point in the movie, "I'm tired of being afraid."
Yeah.
And basically what he does is he purposely has her confront all her fears.
Yeah.
And when it came down to the point where she was ready to die, the whole facade was over. And, you know, she comes out and she was like, "It was you?" And he was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "I hate you." And he literally goes, "Don't lose this moment in your life, which pretends to be the most fantastic moment of your life. Remember what you just felt. You were willing to die."
Yeah.
"And you were okay with that."
Yeah.
And then she loses her breath. She loses her breath, and then it starts coming back where she gets calm. She's like, "I need air." And they go up to the roof, and it's raining, and it's the exact same energy as when the guy escaped Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Had
yes.
to climb through the, you know, the ship
yes.
pipes.
The sewer.
And he gets out.
Yes.
Right. He gets out in the rain. And it's like, there really is no shortcuts.
No.
You got to face your fears. And the thing about it is to understand when there are certain alignments, planetary and galactic alignments, facing our fears can be tremendously, it can, you know, facing one fear can just do so much greater good in your experience than if you had done it, you know, in a different time and in a different frequency and in a different space. Now is one of those times. I mean, it really is. Everything in life, because everything's going through a transition, the planet, the galaxy, the universe, us.
Mm-hmm.
And so to align with these things by the simple, courageous act of facing our fears puts us into alignments that are quantum by measurement. Quantum.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I do. And just like Susan Lee, you read that the belief
yes.
in, because the subtleness of what is going on, although you may not feel it, I mean, you do feel it subtle because you even use that word today, but to not deny that these actually are going on is imperative, I think. Because because otherwise you're living in a denial and like you're almost holding on to a belief system that used to serve you, but it doesn't anymore. And
The subtle is what's becoming front burner, so to speak, right?
It would be good to really acknowledge it, you know. And I think that
exactly.
the timing is right. The timing is definitely right.
Definitely. Which is part of the reason why I got so frustrated at my friend, because, you know, it's like his answer to me is always, you know, "Oh, I'll do it in the break. I'll do it in the winter." And it's like, just do it now. There's no time like now, you know. And I really invite all the listeners, if you hear yourself putting things off,
mm-hmm.
you know, I highly, highly encourage you, because it's your soul talking to you, to do it now. And,
yeah.
and I'm talking about most of the things we don't do is because we're afraid. We're afraid of something, whether we're afraid of failing, success, making fools out of ourselves, being laughed at, not being liked, being kicked out of the tribe, all of these things. Finding your own self just takes precedence over all of that. And I keep telling Janine, it's so funny how recently, the less I care what people think, the more people care what I think.
That's really good.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of amazing for, because, you know, for many, many moons, I wanted them to care what I think, and as I let go of caring what they think, they all of a sudden it's like, well, what do you think, Goldie? And it's like, I think I don't care. That's what I think. You know, and again, it's like, you know, it's not about not caring from a compassionate level. There's so many bindings and attachments.
Mm-hmm.
That are playing parasitical roles in caring about what your family thinks, caring about what your friends think, caring about what your boss thinks. A lot of parasitical energy exchange and energetic dynamics going on in that. And if you have it in yourself that you know it's time for a change, you know, truly blow the cap off it, get pissed off, and say what you mean and mean what you say, and watch your life change, because it will. I mean,
yeah.
And it will
yeah.
change for the better. It won't, you know, it'll just change. I, even though I can't say, you know, it'll change, because it's funny, it'll change for the better, but there's often times when, you know, I told Janine this morning, the more that I don't care what people say and I'm saying my truth, my circle of friends is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But the quality of the people in my life is getting, you know, more expanded and more expanded and more expanded. So, you know, the dead weight is definitely is leaving. And truly, truly, the people that are living life from an expanded point of view, they're here. They're here, and I'm blessed to have one as a co-host, and, you know, I'm blessed to have, you know, one of my biggest fans, Susan. You know, I mean, all of this. You guys are all blessed in my life, all blessed in my life, and,
it
makes it all worth the while. Go ahead.
No, you know, things are shifting and changing, and, you know, I always think that, you know, there's always room for revisiting or, what's the word? You know, it's not, it's just, everything's in its timing. And when sometimes friendships or, you know, there's space between you or, that's a really important part of a growth spurt for the two individuals or the one individual. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just to me like natural rhythms. They just are. You know,
yeah.
the space between come to close like planets, you know. Sometimes they're farther apart, then they come closer.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can maybe be easier about all this, you know, like, you know, not taking it so, like, personalizing it or, you know, because
yeah.
that's we do get in trouble when we personalize other people's processes. I mean, I know, you know, I can do that, and then
you just summed it all up. That's what this whole experience was about, was personalizing someone else's process, even though but triggering my own, because that was the control.
Well, the
but
personalizing
exactly.
yeah. You know, so fair witness and, you know, be the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. That's great advice. Right on. Right on. Be the planet. Well, because the truth is, when I'm the planet, I really do kind of encompass, I'm going to call it a low-grade joy. It's not like I'm jumping up and down all the time. I'm just kind of moseying along, doing my thing, feeling okay. Just being me, you know, nothing
yeah.
extravagant, nothing that, you know, is going to make the news and nothing that's going to put me 6 feet under. Just, you know, taking care of my kids, creating art projects and doing radio shows, you know, just basic little stuff. That
Yeah, but sharing the truth is really great. I mean, it is, because it's,
right
I know people
right
are, I know people, you know, really like to hear the truth. And, you know, I think they like picking up the carpet and looking what's underneath it.
Right on.
Getting the broom out.
Yeah, get the broom out to fly on it. No more sweeping it under the carpet.
And not the vacuum, because it's too noisy.
Exactly.
I don't
exactly.
get along with vacuums. Someday we'll talk about that.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure, Janine. I love you, sister. Please share where people can find you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so I have a website, www.jlkimmel, jlkimmel.com, and you can see my art on there, and I do therapy, and I have a book, and yeah, that's it. So thanks if you go check it out and say hello to me if you want.
Yeah, and Facebook, and she can be found on Facebook as well.
Yeah, and Michelle found me on Facebook, which was really fun. And thank you so much. And I think tonight's show was, you can always tell because the time flew.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So how right about, share where you come, your impression.
Okay, yeah. Another reality show is, which is where this show, you know, that's my blog talk show. We do two shows. We do another reality show on Thursday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern time. We do Mystical Mother Earth show on Monday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern time. And you can find me on Facebook. And, you know, you can find me outside, you know, screaming and yelling and getting pissed off and cracking up and, you know, all the good stuff that is out there. So I super appreciate everybody that that stuck around tonight and you know, and hung out with us. It was amazing. And I love you, Susan. I love you. Janine, Polar Bear, Dennis was even here tonight. We love Dennis, too. It's all good.
Hi, Dennis.
And, yeah. Yeah, no, they can't hear it. The stream is
off. Oh, it's over. Okay.
Yeah, but it'll be an archive. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. But listen, it was amazing. You're amazing, Janine. Truly. I just can't tell you. I get excited even when I'm angry because you're in my life. Because these are things that I really do deem worthy of sharing.
Thank you.
And you're helping me do that, and that is just amazing for me. Amazing.
And that's fun for me and really an honor. And I love the experimentalness of this show.
Right on.
I do. So, all
right.
So, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right. I will talk to you soon. All right. Night-night, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Bye now.